HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A white woman in Florida has been convicted in the shooting death of her black neighbor during an ongoing dispute. An all-white jury has convicted Susan Lorenz of fatally shooting Ajika Owens, a mother of four, outside Lorenz's Ocala, Florida home last year. Prosecutor Rich Buxman told jurors,
"Is it okay to shoot through that closed, locked, deadbolted metal door as someone who was banging on it and yelling, but posing no imminent threat? Based on the facts of this case, it's not okay. Based on the law in this case, it's not okay."
60-year-old Susan Lorenz faces up to 30 years in prison, Owen's mother saying after the verdict,
"We've achieved some justice for Ajika."
After a second consecutive day of talks on the effort to end the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, negotiators call the discussions constructive. CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon.
The talks have been put on hold for now with the idea that they will resume in Egypt next week. There will be mediators in the meantime working on the technicalities of those talks.
Dangerous storm surge, life-threatening flood, and strong winds are what Hurricane Ernesto is expected to cause on Bermuda starting early tomorrow. CBS's David Malkoff is there.
Lorenzo Cook says in any hurricane, the best resource is often Bermudians themselves.
Obviously, a neighbor is a helping hand at all times.
Outside the hardware store, it's pouring, while inside, generators, flashlights, and coolers are being snapped off the shelves.
Ernesto's maximum sustained winds are currently 100 miles per hour. Prosecutors in Michigan have struck a deal with a pharmacist who is blamed for deaths from a national meningitis outbreak in 2012. CBS News Detroit reporter Ingrid Kelly.
A Massachusetts pharmacist charged with murder and the deaths of 11 Michigan residents from a 2012 meningitis outbreak has agreed to plead no contest to involuntary manslaughter. The deal with Glenn Chen calls for a 7.5-year prison sentence with credit for his current longer sentence for federal crimes.
CBS's Heather Bosch with some info on aging that might surprise you.
New research shows the average person goes through two bursts of aging, that your body experiences two major changes in its molecules around the age of 60, but also around 44. Study co-author Michael Snyder.
I don't think we expected it. Intuitively, you might say it makes sense. People often pull muscles and things like that as they hit their 40s.
Results of a study in the journal Nature Aging suggest you might want to exercise, monitor your cholesterol, and keep tabs on your immune system sooner rather than later.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The economy is doing well, but anecdotal evidence at Wisconsin food pantries suggests people are still struggling. Savannah Tomei Olson reports on one food pantry where traffic has doubled in the past year.
The Oregon Area Food Pantry has already served almost 550 people this month, and we're only halfway through August. The price of food is up, the cost of rent is up, and childcare is astronomical. The executive director says most people who rely on the pantry work, some of them two and three jobs, but with rising costs of living, it's just not enough. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Some county fairs in Wisconsin are banning lactating dairy cows this summer out of concern over bird flu spreading to dairy cows. Bird flu has not been found in any Wisconsin dairy herds, but it is affecting cows in states like Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Packers and the Broncos. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay Packers in Denver with their joint practice with the Broncos. Quarterback Jordan Love says the Broncos defense was challenging.
Doing the joint practices, getting to see a new defense, going against new players. So there was a couple plays here and there that we missed. It just wasn't our best day productivity-wise. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, just being able to learn and grow from that. You know, seeing this new defense that we haven't really gone against, haven't got a scout. But we'll be able to go back, watch film, and, you know, learn from these opportunities.
Green Bay defensive back quarterback Jaire Alexander says he remembers watching the Carolina Panthers in a joint practice.
It always motivates me. It always brings me back to a time where I was in that position, looking up to players in my city like Steve Smith. So I know what it's like for them to have a player like myself come up and sign, and it's always humbling. I think this was a good day for us. I think there was a lot to learn from. You know, I think there's things we could have been better at. But all in all, this is what we do it for. We do it to improve.
That's the Packers' Jaire Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. It's 71 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ha ho, hey Kargi, hello, welcome all of our friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, where we discuss local and national Native news, stories, and events. I want to give a shout out to Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition, for sponsoring this first segment of today's episode. My name is Haley Cherry, I'm the producer. I'm a descendant of the Eagle Clan of the Great Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin, and my Ho-Chunk name is Chashap Hewangawining. I want to say a big pinigigi thank you for joining us today, as we'll be hearing from our friend Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, as she gives us a really great update from the northern woods of Minnesota. We'll also hear from our friend Robert Lilligren of NACD in Minneapolis, Native American Community Development Institute. And we'll have a new fun fact Friday, Sacred Animals segment from Wendy Pilot, U.S. Humane Society's policy leader. We also have a weekly update here from the Wisconsin Governor, Tony Evers. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. When I ran to be your governor, I promised to get to work fixing the darn roads. That's exactly what we've been doing mile by mile these past 5 years. Since 2019, we have improved or repaired more than 7,400 miles of roads and 1,780 bridges statewide. Wisconsinites could drive from La Crosse to Key West, Florida, and back twice on the number of miles of roads we fixed. And with the help of President Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law, and the support of the entire Biden-Harris administration, we're not slowing down anytime soon. Last week, I was glad to announce more than $200 million in federal funding is going out to communities across the state to support more than 150 local road and bridge improvement projects through the state's surface transportation program, from building safer roads and bike lanes in Fall Creek to ensuring first responders have strong infrastructure in the town of Pelican to repairing the Yahara Bridge in Rock County. These projects are going to make a huge difference for communities across our state. Thanks to the Biden-Harris administration's Investing in America agenda, Wisconsin is seeing historic investments in improving our infrastructure. More than $6 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law alone has been announced and is headed to Wisconsin, with over 500 specific projects identified for funding. And based just on formula funding, Wisconsin is expected to receive approximately $5.4 billion over 5 years in federal funding, specifically for highways and bridges. This is a once-in-a-generation sort of investment, folks, that will go a long way in our efforts to build the 21st century infrastructure Wisconsinites need and deserve. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, thank you, Pinangiki Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin. Yes, we got to make sure our bridges and roads are, you know, able to drive on, especially with our harsh Midwestern winters up here. Tons of things going on this weekend in Minnesota. A lot of fun things going on in our community as the summer kind of wraps up and kids are getting ready to go back to school. Host Robert Pilot is currently out at the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community Powwow Grounds for their annual Wachipee, holding down the merch tent for Native Roots Trading Post. We've got a bunch of new swag, t-shirts, hats, beanies, of course, a bunch of local handmade artists, resin earrings, beaded earrings. There's going to be a ton of vendors out there, so come check it out. SMSC, Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux community, says that the word Wachipee or powwow is a traditional Native American gathering, a celebration of life, pride, and honor, meaning, quote, they dance in Dakota language. Today's Wachipee brings together people from all over the country for 3 days of celebrating in a good way. It is a time for preserving a rich heritage while reconnecting with old friends and making new friends. Yes, I can. I'm so excited to head out to this powwow tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be able to make out there, but it's going on all 3 days, the 16th through the 18th. It is free admission and open to the public. Everyone is welcome. It is a drug-free, weapon-free environment. This powwow is the closest one probably to the Twin Cities and definitely one of the largest powwow weekends locations in the Midwest. If you're able, please, please, please go out and support local Native artists, vendors, dancers, and singers. It really, really is just a beautiful weekend to bring your friends, bring your family, bring your relatives. For those who are unable to attend this weekend's three-day event, it once again will be live streamed on the SMSC Wachipee, WACIPI.org. as well as the SMSC Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community Wachipee Facebook page at Shakopee Powwow and the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community YouTube account, Shakopee Dakota. For our friends and relatives north of the Twin Cities, we have another full three-day powwow weekend with the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. The Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe is hosting their 58th annual traditional powwow. Both powwows that I just mentioned this weekend have grand entry start times of 7 p.m. Friday, 1 and 7 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. We hope everyone has fun, dances hard, stays safe, and stays hydrated no matter what your weekend plans are. You know, it's a great time to be with friends and loved ones to wrap up the summer and just enjoy the weather. We'll be back after this short break with an update from Mary Kunish. I'm going to leave here with some music to end the segment because it's Fun Friday on Native Roots Radio. This is a band called Redboned. They're actually a Native American band. This is Come and Get Your Love. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Support Native businesses. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, on, and it's great to have you on. Thanks so much for being on.
Amadakiape, Ampetukine, Shantewashte. Greetings and warm handshake to all of you. This is Senator Mary Kunish coming to you from the Whitefish chain of lakes in northern Minnesota. It's been beautiful up here, spending a week with my family at a cabin resort. I think we have about 9 cabins here between all of us family members, and we've been fishing and swimming and seeing the beautiful, beautiful Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights. So it's just been a really great week to get away. But I just wanted to update you on a couple of things. Of course, the primaries were on Tuesday, and that sort of decided any of the internal challenges between the Democratic candidates and the Republican candidates. If there were more than one running, it narrowed it down to just that one person. So I would encourage all of you to reach out and find out who are the candidates, and you can find that on the Secretary of State's website. Just sort of Google candidates, Minnesota, Secretary of State, and you'll find his website where there will be a listing of the candidates, and oftentimes there's a link right to that candidate's website. So it really is your responsibility to educate yourself, educate other people around you. Remember, you can begin voting at the age of 18. If you haven't registered to vote, you can go to your county election site and get registered ahead of time. They do allow for early voting. I think that's usually like 46 days before an election. Vote by mail. There are so many different opportunities, and it's really important that we as Indigenous people, Native American people, recognize that It's not just our tribal elections that we participate in, but it is also our municipal and our statewide elections, because every single person deserves to be represented in Minnesota. And if your representative is not doing the work that you think should be done, not only for you, but your community and across the state, then it really is your responsibility to make sure that the right people are elected into those sites. So you can, again, go to the Secretary of State's office, find out where you can vote, and just get a plan in place. How are you going to get to the polls? Who are you going to take to the polls? Are you going to vote early? Are you going to vote on the day of? All of those things. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to elections, I'm sure, but it sure wouldn't hurt to start looking at that and seeing what you can do to set yourself up for success. I think the big to-do these days is that Minnesota's governor, Tim Walz, has been selected for the vice president seat with Kamala Harris, which is really, really exciting. I can tell you that I believe our Governor Walz has a good heart, and he really does want to do what's best, not just for his community or the urban core, but for all of Minnesota. And I think he's going to carry that directly to the White House with Kamala Harris. So I'm really excited for him to be in that position. He was such a strong proponent of tribal to state government relationships and building that where there never had been before. And so we're seeing incredible work done at the state level to make sure that that's happening. Should Walz, and when Walz becomes our vice president, that's going to set a whole series of events up where his seat as governor is vacated and the lieutenant governor moves into that seat. And that happens to be Peggy Flanagan, a Native woman. So Minnesota probably, most likely, almost certainly, we will have our first woman as governor and a Native woman at that, which is pretty historic. But once her seat as lieutenant governor is vacated, then that means that the president of our Senate, who happens to be Bobby Joe Champion, will move into that lieutenant governor seat should he choose to. He can say, no, I don't want to give up my presidency of the Senate. I want to continue to be the chair of my committees. I have an outside job. And he would have to step down and we'd put somebody else in there in the Senate, and that person would move into the lieutenant governor's seat. But I think Bobby Joe Champion will, because, again, it would be a first for our state by having an African-American man as our lieutenant governor. So come shortly after November, we could have an American Indian governor, an African-American lieutenant governor, and they would be in that seat for the next 2 years, meaning we could see some incredible changes. So that should be awfully, awfully interesting. With the primaries, those people that won their primaries will now be running for their seats in the House, in other positions, and that election is coming up in November. So like I said, make sure that you are getting yourself pre-registered to vote and you know where to vote and that you have a plan to get to the polls, as well as your family and your neighbors. Help them out in that way. We're getting close to going back to school. I just want to give a shout out to the kids that came out to Stockyard Days in New Brighton from the Anoka Hennepin schools and danced for the folks that came to Stockyard Days. They shared a little bit of the history of their community, talked a little about the uniqueness of the dance, and then gave us all a sample of it. I can tell you I was very, very proud to be there and watch them do that. It was pretty incredible. But we are getting close to back to school, and I just want to remind parents out there that not only do you have that responsibility to getting your kids to school each and every day and helping them get through their school day, their school week, their school year, but there's also a responsibility for American Indian folks. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but if your school has 10 or more American Indian kids in their school, legally and statutorily, that school needs to establish an advisory board for American Indian kids to receive culturally relevant and equitable opportunities within their school. And so the parents advise their school on what our kids need. And it's important to know that when there are 20 or more American Indian kids in a school, then that's when American Indian aid kicks in. And that aid is through the state. We just upped it and gave it a little bit more flexibility for the schools to use it for powwows, for supplies for their kids, to help them get to field trips, find unique ways to encourage those students to participate in their school. And it's really, really important that we are looking at how we're supporting our American Indian kids as parents, as grandparents, as advocates. And I know that, come November, there'll be Indigenous Persons Day. And if you go to the Minnesota's Department of Education Board, again, Google American Indian Education Minnesota, you'll find so many resources there, especially when it comes to Indigenous Peoples Day. So all you teachers out there that are listening, there's pages of really good information and links on how to bring information to the classroom around that. Just some really great legislation that we've passed in the last couple of years. I'm the chair of education finance, so my goal was to make sure that we are addressing the needs of our students. So one thing is that we made sure that kids could wear important information or important things on their hats when they graduate. Schools can no longer use Indigenous names or figures for their mascot unless they have been approved. Students are now eligible and should be able to smudge in the school where there is a safe place. And don't forget that the tobacco pouch that kids love to wear is now allowed. That was some legislation. All of those I passed in the last year or two, and we're continuing to make sure that we are funding our schools, our Indian education schools, in the very best way possible. And so those some of the dollars that our BIE schools don't get from the school trust lands, we are now doing a per pupil increase in that too. So January 14th starts a new session. I'm excited to get back to work and make sure that all of our kids, no matter Native, African-American, Asian.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Brief. A Florida jury convicts a white woman of manslaughter in the June 2023 shooting death of her black neighbor in a dispute over loud children. 60-year-old Susan Lorenz faces up to 30 years in prison in the killing of 35-year-old Ajika Owens. Owens' mother, Pamela Diaz.
I find some peace with that verdict.
President Biden, after a second day of Gaza ceasefire talks.
I don't want to jinx anything, but as my grandfather said, with the grace of God, good little neighbors, a lot of luck, we may have something.
Mediators from the U.S., Egypt, and Qatar say the talks were constructive, and they are expected to meet again next week in Cairo. Lisa Finley of Kimberling, Missouri, is charged with trying to defraud Elvis Presley's family of millions of dollars and steal their ownership of Graceland. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Prosecutors say she falsely claimed that Presley's daughter pledged the property as collateral for a loan she failed to pay before her death.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican vice presidential running mate J.D. Vance in Milwaukee Friday, meeting with law enforcement officers. He says if elected, the Trump administration would make it easier to do their jobs. Vice President Harris has been running on her record as a former prosecutor and promises to support police. The Democratic National Convention starts Monday in Chicago. Protesters say they're dismayed by restrictions. Catherine Carley reports.
Julie Ramirez, a member of Chicago's City Council, criticizes restrictions on protesters ahead of next week's Democratic National Convention, banning stages, portable restrooms, tents, and sound equipment.
The city is taking away the beauty of the protest, the beauty of community.
Officials argue those could be a safety risk or used for illegal activity. I'm Catherine Carley.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Bob Odenkirk and Bill Burr have been on their share of stages, but both will experience a first when they head to Broadway next spring. The actor-comedians will join Kieran Culkin on Broadway and Glengarry Glenn Ross. If you haven't seen the 1992 film written by David Mamet based on his play of the same title, it's worth a watch. The story is set in a cutthroat Chicago real estate office. Burr will be in the Dave Moss role, played by Ed Harris in the film. Culkin will play Richard Roma, who is portrayed by Al Pacino, and Odenkirk takes the role of Shelley Levine, the character played by Jack Lemmon. That's one to see. If Taylor Sheridan has writer's cramp, he is great at hiding it. He's written yet another Yellowstone spinoff that's headed to the little screen. The show Madison will star Michelle Pfeiffer as the female lead. She will also executive produce. Madison follows a New York City family as they adjust to life in the West. Rumors are that Kurt Russell will also join the cast. Madison's previous title was 2024. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, few showers around tonight and a low in the mid-60s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, maybe a pop-up shower and highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s Sunday. A couple of nice days Monday and Tuesday, mostly sunny and highs near 80. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the Democratic National Convention, everybody, and I could not be more excited. It kicks off with President Joe Biden, and I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're going to stop in with a quick hello with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. Yes, he's got his T-shirt on right now. I got cue cards. But it's great to see you. Great to talk to you. I know we're all so busy, and I'm glad you're going to have time just to quickly talk and maybe talk about what happened here locally, and then we maybe can get into some national stuff. Welcome.
Cool. Bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, everybody. Thanks. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I appreciate you stopping in and this time to spend together. And when you talk about what's happening locally, I think you mean in the election world, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad you can decipher and also decipher for our listening audience. I'm glad you can decipher all my half sentences here. I appreciate you, Robert. But yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so last Tuesday, just 2 days ago, was a primary election day here. It was very exciting. It was a primary all across the state, but of course, just looking locally, and of course, to lift up the fact that NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, is a nonprofit and nonpartisan, so I just want to put that out there. So from that perspective, the big deal race here in Minneapolis and in our congressional district, CD5, was with our incumbent representative, Ilhan Omar, and a second time around challenger. And we all are watching that race really closely. Ilhan is considered a member of the informal group, the Squad, out in Congress. And a couple of the members of the Squad did not fare well in their primaries. They were defeated. A lot of outside money came in. And that didn't happen with Ilhan. And I think the outside money interests saw that she was just such a strong candidate. She ended up prevailing by 13 percentage points in her race. The same challenger, she had the same challenger as last cycle 2 years ago, and they were only 2 points apart. So she really grew her lead. She's really demonstrated how much support she has here in our congressional district, which is Minneapolis and some western suburbs. And hopefully she sent a strong enough message that she isn't to be reckoned with, that she, as long as she continues to show up, she delivers for the Native community, she will have our support.
Yeah, it was really important, at least for me too, to see that the second time was a lot more votes for Ilhan. And you know, we both know her from when she first started out in her as a campaigner and as a, I think it was a city council at first.
She was an aide to a city council member, and that's when I first met her. And that was quite a while ago. That must have been about 15 years ago, maybe something like that. And yeah, and then she was a candidate for the state legislature, right?
That's right. That's what it was. And then switched when all that went down with Attorney General and senators, right? And all that big switch.
Yep.
Well, one of the things I was trying to get at, Robert, too, is that not only is she a great ally for Native Americans, but she has learned so much from about us and about her community since she's been legislator or legislating, you know, and I am really appreciative of that.
I agree. And one of the things I really appreciate about Congresswoman Omar is that she shows up. And she'll show up at a community event or an honoring or something. And we have a lot of those kind of events here in the Native community. And she just shows up to stand with the community. And often I'm helping to organize those or emceeing those kinds of events. And I'll go up to her and say, Congresswoman Omar, do you want a chance to address the group? And she'll say, no, I'm just here to be with the community, to stand in community with you. And so I, of course, will always acknowledge her presence there. But she doesn't even show up to deliver a speech. She just shows up to be in our community.
Ah, I remember a few of those times. She was very low-key. One of them was by the lake, and we were all, it was really dark out, and mm-hmm. people were calling out people, and she was low-key and didn't say anything. I had to, like, whisper to somebody.
Right. No, I remember that. That was a sunrise ceremony to kick off Indigenous Peoples Day here. And the congresswoman showed up as a whole host of elected officials did. I mean, they're not there to speak. That isn't the point. It's a ceremony, right? And so, but they do get acknowledged. And I was going to walk up to the lead there and make sure that Representative Omar got acknowledged. And then you did it before I could get there. So miigwech for that.
Yeah, I'm a little quicker. I'm a year younger than you.
Right? Right? You just like to walk in the middle of the circle.
Oh, he just called me out, I think.
But that's just a perfect example of how she shows up to be in community. She cares about our community. And I agree. I think she's really matured in her representation. You know, she was big about lifting up the fact that she delivered $54 million to the district for capital projects, including the beautiful renovation of our American Indian Center here. She delivered $3 million for that project alone. And I think her campaign this cycle was more mature. I think she took the opposition more seriously. But as a, you know, somewhat experienced campaigner myself, you could just see, even from outside, that she had her stuff together more this cycle than last.
Yeah, yeah, we're really excited, and people are learning, learning curve, but she is a representative, like you said. Hey, let's talk a little national stuff, and I don't know if we can talk nationally and not have a chuckle and not be disrespectful, because it's insane right now.
It is insane. It's unprecedented, right? And it's hard to know, because sort of traditional wisdom, campaign wisdom, really can't be relied on to predict what's going to happen. But generally speaking, I am more optimistic and joyful about the national political scene than I have been for years, decade maybe. And it's thrilling that Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is on the ticket. I think he's exactly the right person to be standing there with Vice President Harris. I think they instill a lot of confidence. And again, I'll say this word, joy, in the electorate. And we're seeing people energized that we haven't seen participate for a very long time.
You know, as I've gotten older, Robert, and maybe you can help me out with this, but I was maybe a simpleton, and I don't mean our voters are simpletons by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just talking about myself, but voting on one issue instead of the whole thing, that's the thing I think maturity's really helped me personally with, and I can support Walz on this endeavor.
Right, and you know, he's broadly supported across the state. I think broadly supported across Native communities as well here, in large part because he picked as his running mate our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, our White Earth sister, and she stands to become governor if Walz becomes elected to the vice presidency, which is historic, unprecedented, right, in our country. So that's exciting. He does have a couple of issues that really clashed with the Native community, especially around pipelines, maybe a little bit around water as well. And that's something that he has to be held accountable for. But I think you're right. I think Native people are not one-issue voters or sophisticated voters. And I really like the way you framed this, Robert, because in politics and in campaigning, in my experience, which now is kind of aging or whatever, but there's kind of two approaches, right? And one of them is that voters are intrinsically stupid and they can be led, and then the other is voters are, the way I view it, I think voters are smart, mm-hmm. You know, and the more you can appeal to their intellects, the better, acknowledging people vote with their hearts before their heads. But I think especially progressive voters are smart people, and they're not going to be one issue people.
You know, I agree, and I heard nationally that there was a pollster for the Republican Party that could not find any younger women because they were doing polls for younger women that were not voting for our vice president, which really said this is, and he was on national television saying this says something. Yeah. And the last couple weeks, we've never seen anything like this, and it is a big, big tidal wave.
It is. It's a tidal wave. It's the enthusiasm is amazing, and I just saw a poll this morning, national poll, reliable, that the Harris-Walz ticket is up 4% nationally, but it's when you break that down, and it's like, you know, they're up like 40% with voters under 30, something. I'm making these numbers up, but it's in this magnitude. And with women, it's just off the charts. And those are bellwether parts of the electorate that really are showing the direction this campaign is going.
Well, and then the few states like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Nevada, do I hear a big upswing? And it's a lot closer than people even think. And that's really good news because it was trending down a little bit before the vice president got into the campaign.
Yep, you're exactly right. Those states, a lot of swing states, there's been an uptick. There's leads in the polls beyond the margins. And so that's all good news, and we can't take that for granted, right? We got to keep working toward election day. Polls can be wildly unreliable, but I am very hopeful for what's going to happen on election day in November, and then our work's cut out for us. I suspect the days between election day and the inauguration are going to be kind of rough in this country, but we'll get through standing together.
Wow, that's a really good point. We got like a minute left here, and I really appreciate you stopping in here so we can have you on here on a Friday instead of your normal Thursday. I really appreciate it. Any last thoughts? I know there's a lot going on here, and we're at the market right now. This is a pre-record, but just a lot of great things happen here on Franklin Avenue in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis.
There's a lot of great things. Thanks, Robert. And here on Franklin Avenue, the American Indian Cultural Corridor, lots of great things. Our market, the new Indian Center, several developments going on with our Native orgs here. And there's some bumps in the road too, right? We have a real uptick in unsheltered homelessness, open drug use, opioid use. And it's been affirming to see the community come together to address these issues and then to seek out resource holders in government, private sector, philanthropy to bring their resources to support the community in addressing these. Our message is we know what to do. Just give us the damn money and let us do it.
Yeah, that's a great way to end this. So, a big Peenigi, thank you so much for stopping in on your busy day. And we're all going to be busy up till November.
Yes, we will. And thanks for having me, Jimmy Gwetch, and Gigawaman.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I got that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Just a quick shout out to Robert. He is at the Shakopee Powwow this weekend, Native Roots Trading Post, with our merchandise will be there, so stop by and see us. I usually do a Fun Fact Friday segment on Fridays, and I will get to the fun facts, but first I want to talk about some hard facts first. I have a lot of friends on Facebook who are people I've never met before, but they work in the rescue industry. They're working at shelters. They're working at rescues. They're fostering, they're doing all kinds of things to help our pets who have no homes. And they're looking for forever homes for these animals. So one of my friends, her name is Erin, and I just want to read what she posts, and then we'll see what happens. Okay, so this is what Erin says. Last year has been the most challenging I've experienced in the past 9 years I've been involved in rescue. I could write a book, but I'll keep it short and just say, please choose adoption over buying a dog from a breeder. And if you decide to bring a new dog into your family, know that it is a lifetime commitment. This is not her talking. This is me talking. But I know we've had our cats and dogs for, you know, 12, 15, 16 years, if you're lucky enough. So it is. It's a big, long commitment. Here she goes, saying, please consider donating to your local rescues on a monthly basis. $5, $10, or $20 a month can make a huge difference. Adoptions are at an all-time low, yet we are still responsible for bringing and transporting food, medical supplies every week to dogs we have in rescue and are committed to finding forever homes for. We currently have 88 dogs under our rescue. And she says, follow our ALMA rescue page. So it's ALMA rescue page. Please reach out to us if you're able to volunteer in any way. And thank you. They have a website, www.almarescue.org. And this is what she is posting. And this is spoken to. A dog is saying this. So this is a dog telling this. Dear everyone, I feel like the general public has no idea what the animal crisis is currently like. So let me tell you. Just like at the shelter where I am, shelters everywhere are full. High kill, low kill, fosters, breeders, rescuers are all full. Breeders are surrendering entire litters. They are saying that even purebred puppies are not selling. Pregnant moms, puppies, so many really good dogs are being euthanized here daily. It is looking like there won't be a really nice home waiting for me like you said there would be. There is no space here. We are so cramped. Cages even line the halls, and we are all stacked up on top of each other. Many of us are getting really sick. We need more space. They are saying that adoptions are at an all-time low. More and more animals keep being dropped off, more than ever maybe before. More than ever before, maybe. Sorry about that. Please keep your pet and please care for them. Please spay, neuter your pet. Train your dog. Find resources to help. And it's okay if you work and have to leave your pet at home. Trust me, it is way worse than being here. There really isn't someone who magically has more time for your dog than you do. I'll confess that. You know, Robert and I have had pets. We're together 24 years, and we've never not had a pet. I think the first 3 months of our marriage, we were petless. You know what? We weren't. We had my cat, Clyde. I came with a cat. Never mind. We've never, ever not had a pet. We've both worked full time, sometimes 8 to 10 hours a day. Your animal gets used to your routine. And the pets know, okay, mom and dad are out the door. Let's go find a nice spot to lay down. And they sleep and they rest. Some of them get into some shenanigans, but most pets just sleep during the day while you're gone. And then they're happy to see you when you get home. So when you get home, you know, you take the dog for a walk and you have dinner and you sit on the couch and watch TV. They're happy. They're happy. The 8 to 10 hours that you weren't home is nothing. It is so much worse for them to be in a shelter and to be in that type of environment that little dog was just talking about. So I encourage everyone to please, adopt and do not shop. And let's get the word out there and empty these shelters. Let's just empty them. All right. So now for the fun stuff. I've been talking about these memes for quite a long time. I just kind of gather them up, and some of them are really funny. Okay, so here's one. Here's a lady, and she has two pet carriers, and their two cats are in the living room, and the two cats have a sign that they're holding up, and the cats say, "We're not going back." And we know the reference, right? We're not going back. But then the cat mom says, "Nice try, but you're both going to the vet today." So I thought that was kind of cute. Here's a funny one. All the animals are at a party and they're all have drinks in their hands and they're online to go to the bathroom. So there's all different kinds of animals. There's a cougar, there's a panda, there's a giraffe, there's all kinds of different animals. But the lion is waiting online and he's really upset. He says, "Oh no," because he's behind a sloth. And you know how slow sloths are. So I think he really, really has to go to the bathroom. I'm going to attempt this. So I see these memes with these cartoon cats and they're singing, but they changed the lyric. So I don't know if I could do this. I might be ruining my whole segment here by doing this. But this is Rick Catsley. And he's singing, "Always gonna wake you up, always gonna knock stuff down, always gonna run around at 2:30, always gonna dislike hugs, always gonna barf on rugs, always gonna watch you go to the bathroom." So that was after that song. We all know that. Okay, here's another sad one. Let this sink in. Only one out of every 10 dogs born and one out of every 12 cats born will ever find a forever home. Please spay, neuter your pets. Okay, let's try another one. Another funny meme. Okay, so here's a dog and he is giving a speech to all the dogs in the audience. And he says, "Today's topic is how to tell if you're actually about to go to the vet." And these are inflections with music notes. So the good notes say, "Want to go for a ride?" And the bad notes say, "Want to go for a ride?" So one is good, you're going for a ride. And one is bad, you're going to the vet. All right, here's very quickly here. Big dog support group. One dog says, "I'm tired of people assuming I'm ferocious. I'm delightful." The other dog says, "The only thing I've ever attacked is a pepperoni pizza." And then the next dog says, "I don't want to be a guard dog. I want to be a dancer." With that, everyone, have a great weekend. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley.
You are listening to Native Roots Radio. If you have been listening to the show, you are part of our resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and free Leonard Peltier now.
.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he's known on TikTok as Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, an oil and gas expert, joins us to talk about the myths of prices. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wurzer Builders invites you to discover easy living in their 55-plus senior condos conveniently located on Eau Claire's south side in the Timber Bluff neighborhood development. Enjoy quality custom units with well-thought-out floor plans, kitchens with center islands and granite countertops, charming front porches, and outdoor patios with pergolas. Units are two-bedroom, two-bath, come complete with appliances, and start in the 270s. Contact Wurzer Builders today for lot availability and building details at info@wurzerbuilders.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.